Okay. Today is the 8th of February 2018. It's supposed to be our last Thursday class before our Chinese New Year break. We will break for 2 weeks. Then we only come back after the Chinese New Year. I think it will be around March the 1st, yes. So now we get ready for puja. We let Sui An nominate 2 persons to come and help us light the candles and the incense. Yeah. Padmasri. Yeah? Minjun, come. You and Manjit, the new people. Help to light the candle, huh, Manjit? Help to light the candles and the incense. You can choose either one. Okay, let us stand. Minjun, yeah. Okay, then we rejoice with the offering. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Oh, okay. You can be seated. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then, mindfully, we shall start our puja chanting. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1. Page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Ramesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Surameraya macchapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadam samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. We are on page 3 here. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami namonudang. Ganna sambarayutena dopenahang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punena matena ca hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pojanang parikaputang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration. based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offering. Significance of offering of light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of pure clear water. May this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. And finally, significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Pajam. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated and just relax yourself. Relax body and mind, huh? Silent everything. We will have half an hour of silent meditation. Huh? Oh, Manji is new. Huh? You meditate before? Oh, never. Yeah, I know. Think a lot. Yeah, it just become like very wow. Wonders of very fast. Your mind has become, the Buddha called it heedless. Heedless means it has got no direction. The thought just arise. But there are reasons why human beings become like that. Because when you have not trained your mind, this mind will behave that way. That's why meditation helps us to train the mind. After the mind is trained, it will listen to you. Then you can develop a lot of benefits out of it. According to the teaching, he said, meditation is very simple when you understand his teaching. You look at the whiteboard there. There are two categories of mind states. The first one is on the right-hand side. On your side is called right-hand side. We call them the mental hindrances. These are the mind states that will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. From becoming calm, from developing the inner awareness, to see things clearly, to understand things clearly. And because of this mental hindrance, you cannot have a peaceful mind, you cannot have a calm mind, you cannot maintain the silence within to meditate. That's why it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So this is the main reason. And the reason why mental hindrances are there is because the Buddha said you lack the opposite five, which are your spiritual faculties. These are the mind state that you need to understand his teaching. He called it the spiritual faculty that can allow you to understand his spiritual teaching. So if you look at the whiteboard, I explain a bit. These are mind states that can help you to become successful in life. And if you are treading the spiritual field, it will also allow you to understand spiritual teaching very easily. And these five counter the hindrance. And because you lack this, that's why this arises. And when this arises, it hinders your mind from becoming peaceful, from realizing the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. Understanding this is very important, so that when this mental hindrance arises during meditation, you don't react to it. Don't become unhappy over it. The Buddha say, don't fight the hindrance, don't suppress them. Because this come about due to certain other reasons. So if you try to fight and suppress, you give it more mental energy. Then it becomes more wild, more reactive. You want the mind to be quiet, it will never become quiet. It's just like a monkey. You want the monkey to be quiet, you have to develop some understanding to train the monkey mind. It's just like how we train a dog. When he understands you, he listens to you, he will receive some food from you. Then he knows, if I listen to the owner will be happy, I will be happy because the owner will have the joy and reward me with food and all those things. So meditation is to train your mind to listen to you so that it can develop the understanding to be peaceful, so that there is mutual benefit. But if this mind is not trained, it becomes Hitler, it thinks a lot, it wanders off very fast. Then you develop the hindrance. And what are these hindrances? First two is very easy to understand. These are your sensual desire and ill will. So from the word sensual desire, it has something to do with your senses. We got five physical senses. Our eye, our ear, our nose, our tongue, and our bodily tactile. So whatever you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or think through your senses, you will develop like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So this duality is positive craving and negative craving. Whatever that you desire positively becomes sensual desire. Whatever that you reject becomes ill will, aversion, dislike. So these two mind states are always there in the midst of life for people who have not trained their mind, who don't have the wisdom. Yeah, every time you see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactile feel something, you tend to react. You tend to stir your mind, like and dislike, and all these things. So these two, if throughout the day you arise it, it become habitual. When it becomes habitual, means throughout the day the mental hindrance is there, you don't stand a chance to be peaceful. That's why you worry a lot, you think a lot. Your mind wanders off everywhere. Then when you got problem, it's worse. When you got problem, you become restless. Your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and unhappiness. When you project your thought, there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety. Then when this problem hits you, you will have sorrow, lamentation, envy, jealousy, unhappiness. And these are the ones that make your mind restless. That's why your mind cannot become quiet, cannot become peaceful. Then the last one is when you don't understand, you start to doubt yourself. You start to doubt yourself in many ways. Doubt is very dangerous because you don't know what is happening. So your mind keep on guessing. And whatever people tell you, whatever you read through your books or internet or your education and all this, they will condition you. Then sometimes it may be things that your friend or your parent or your neighbor said. Then you take it like very seriously. Of course, initially you are very unhappy. Then later on when you got problem, then you start to reflect. Hey, maybe my parent is right. I'm really that stupid. Or maybe my neighbor is right. I'm very careless. And then you develop this remorse, this sadness, lack of self-confidence. So doubt can lead to all those things. There you are not confident. You don't know what is happening to you. You got no direction in life. So this doubt is very dangerous. So doubt arises because you lack faith. You lack confidence in yourself. You lack understanding. Then you look at the other mental hindrance. It's the same. The third one is sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor means sleepiness, lethargic mind. The mind is like very lazy. Because when you attend a class or a subject that you don't like, or you don't understand, you feel sleepy. That is the natural tendency. You fail to understand the importance of training your mind or attending to that class. So when you are sleepy, it means you lack virya. Virya is spiritual zeal, spiritual tenacity to go this way, to learn this teaching, to become successful in whatever you want to do. So when you lack this virya, which is a spiritual energy or zeal to drive you to diligently cultivate and improve yourself, develop your self-knowledge and understanding. When this is lacking, you are not motivated. Your mind becomes sleepy. Then you develop this mental hindrance of sloth and torpor. Lethargic mind, sleepy mind. Then when you have sati, sati is a very important spiritual faculty. Sati is the silent mind, awareness. When you are just aware before the mind knows something, means awareness before the knowing. Before you know, there was no word, no concept, nothing. So you are peaceful. But the moment your mind, through memory, perceives something with the words, then duality starts. And when duality starts, it will condition your emotion, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So this sati is very important. This is mindfulness, the English translation. So when you are mindful, you are aware, your mind is just silent without thought. And this is the mind state that you have to develop in the meditative training. And when you can stabilize this, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi means the mind that is calm, peaceful, yet it is very stable and collected and unwavering. The meaning is when you see something, it does not stir because it's collected, it's unwavering. It will remain quiet. That's why it can see things as they are. The moment you stir means you react to what you see. You are seeing according to what your memory or your brain condition you to see. You are using your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your belief system, your conditioning to see. And that is not the reality. The reality is, thing is just the way it is. No word, nothing. But when words and concepts come in, then the seeing is distorted by your views and opinion and conditioning and your belief system. That's why everybody see differently. They argue. Then the last one is, of course, wisdom. When you have this sati and samadhi, when your mind is very, very quiet, peaceful, it can see things as they are. It will develop the wisdom and the understanding. Then it will not be deceived by all this phenomenal and also the mental hindrance. So sati, samadhi, and panya, these three will overcome sensual desire, ill will, and restlessness of mind. The moment you are aware, you got no duality. The moment you are aware, you are peaceful. You got no restlessness. But this one, if you don't stabilize it, you cannot maintain that state for long. That's why you have to train your mind in meditation to stabilize this sati or mindfulness so that you can maintain that calm state, the inner peace, the inner awareness, and the inner clarity of mind for as long as you can. Finally, it's throughout the day in the midst of life and nature's existence. That's why this is called samadhi. Samadhi is the stability of mind that is very calm, very peaceful, very quiet, and yet aware with it. And this one has its stability for you to see things as they are to arise the wisdom. So the moment wisdom is there, all this cease to be. So when you understand this, to meditate is very simple. Yeah? So now we were off the light, then you all can develop the meditation. Okay, for those who already know to meditate, you go ahead. Then for Manjit, if you are new, you don't worry, after we will give you some books. You go back and read. And there is also a website where you can log in to develop the understanding. So whatever instruction that is given, you don't have to remember them. They are all in the audio file and the transcript books. Most of these transcript books are from the Dhamma session or the sharing that I give. They transcribe it out. So the typical Thursday class one also is transcribed out. So if you read through, you will understand. So now you only have to silence your mind, relax body and mind completely. Make sure you have a stable posture. Then you silence everything. Don't try to think. Don't try to do anything. Just silent, relax, breathe in, breathe out naturally. Then if there is thought, like what you experience the moment you close your eyes, this wandering thought, they start to arise, start to stir, don't worry. Don't even become unhappy, just allow it to be. Just tell yourself, the untrained mind is such, it will think, it will wander off, it will be heedless. So what I need to do is, if I don't react to it, don't do anything to it, if I don't suppress and control it or use more mental energy to make it more restless, then it will settle down. After a while, all this thinking will slow down. You just let it arise, then it will pass away. Then when you don't feed it with any more mental energy thinking, it will naturally slow down. Then if you are patient enough, all of a sudden, you will feel the quietness, the peacefulness. So this is the easiest way to meditate. No need to do anything, just relax, silent, maintain awareness. Then just feel whatever that is most prominent to you, you just feel. If you can feel your breathing, you just stay with your breathing. If you can feel your heartbeat, just stay there. You can feel your body, just feel. When you feel, you don't think. So a very useful, skillful means to train your mind to decondition the heedless thinking is the mind sweeping method, which I will teach you. I will quickly glance through, because you can read the rest of it from the text or the transcript book. Make sure you have a straight backbone, relax body and mind, silence everything, then breathe in, breathe out normally. Then close your eye. Maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel your forehead. Feel, don't think, feel. Then relax into it. You can detect any tightness, any stress within, or any uncomfortableness. You just relax it. Relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel. Then relax into it. Wherever there is any tightness, stress within. You just relax, relax and relax. Sometimes there is also tension. You need to relax into it. Then after that, you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Do the same. Feel each and every strand of your facial muscle. Mindfully just feel, relax, feel, relax, feel, relax. Until your whole facial muscle is completely relaxed. Then to help you relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, there is joy. When you have joy, your mind state is very peaceful. It will relax by itself. When you are happy, you will have joy. When you have joy, you are relaxed, peaceful. Then you can continue with loving kindness radiation. You can radiate love and well-being to yourself. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel it, your entire body and mind having this ability to have this well-being inside and happiness inside. If possible, you must feel each and every cells within your own body having this inner peace, inner well-being and happiness. Then you can repeat, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then may this body and mind of yours too be without suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. Then you extend this same loving kindness to all your loved ones, to all beings within this vicinity, including all the cultivators, your Dhamma friends. Then extending all this to all beings within the whole of Subhanjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and the whole planet, all Mother Earth. Then extending it further to the whole of the solar system, our galaxy, then our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe or existence. We can radiate the same love and metta to them. May all beings within the entire existence too be well and happy, well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both mental and physical suffering. May their mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can come back to your facial muscle, feel, relax every part of it. Then you move it down to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Move it down to your hands, feel, relax. Then move it back to your shoulder, feel, relax. Then now you move your attention down to your heart area or your chest area. This is a very important location within your body. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where your seat of consciousness is. This is where your life force arises and passes away. So you just silence everything. Stay there. Feel. You can detect whatever heartbeat or vibration within your chest area. You just silence everything and stay there. Use it as an anchor to maintain your silent mind, the awareness. Then be aware of the heartbeat or the vibration. Just stay there, the mind, the awareness and the movement as one. If you are new, if you are not sensitive, then it's okay. What you can do is, you can, like, what you have done to feel your forehead, you also feel your heart, then just relax into it. Wherever there is any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just feel it, relax, relax, and relax. Feel your heart area comfortable, soothingly relaxed. Then you move it down to your abdomen. Yeah. Initially, you can move to your stomach if you want to. Feel, relax. Then abdomen, feel, relax. Then you move it down to your leg. Feel, relax. Then your buttock, do the same. Feel, relax. As you do this, you would have deconditioned your headless thinking, because now you only feel and relax. So that deconditioning through the mind sweeping method will help you to calm your mind down. Your mind will experience a type of quietness, peacefulness. Then you can sweep this whole mind sweeping process in the reverse order, starting with your buttock, feel, relax, leg, feel, relax, abdomen, feel, relax. Then move it up to your stomach, feel, relax. Then go to your heart area, do the same, silence everything and just feel. By now, chances are you can detect your own heartbeat or whatever vibration there without the stethoscope. You just silent, you will be sensitive. That is mindfulness. The mindfulness will be aware of this movement. If you can't, it's okay. Relax. Move it out to the shoulder. Feel. Relax. Hand. Do the same. Feel. Relax. Back to shoulder. Then neck. Feel. Relax. Then facial muscle. Feel. Sweep through all the facial muscle. And feel yourself soothingly. Relax. Relax and relax. Then your eye muscle. Then your forehead. Feel. Relax. By now, you should be more calm, more peaceful. Your mental hindrance would have been temporarily under control, means it will not disturb you for a while, unless you become heedless again. So this mind-sweeping method is a very good way to decondition your heedless thinking and bring about a peaceful mind. And the mind that is quiet has the spiritual faculty of sati, mindfulness. That's how this mind can meditate. Then what you need to do is to stabilize this quiet mind, peaceful mind, silent mind, or mind that is aware within. So I will teach you another technique. They call it anapana sati. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati, when you combine these two words, it becomes mindfulness of the in and out breath. You can be aware of your breath in and out. You will be peaceful. You will be calm. Your mind is just aware, no thinking, nothing. That's how the meditative mind come about, develop the stability of it. So every time the mind wanders off, you just bring it back to your nostril. So what you can do is now maintain attentiveness or attention in front of your nostril instead of attention at your forehead and all the various areas in your body. Now that you have trained, you can maintain attention in front of your nostril and just feel your breathing. Just breathe in, breathe out naturally in a very relaxed manner. Then, like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware, because the mind that is attentively aware of the breathing can synchronize with the breathing. When you are aware, there is no thought. So breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Continue this training. Every time the mind wanders off, don't worry. Just patiently bring it back. Don't react, don't stir, don't become unhappy. Just allow it to be. Just like the thought when they arise, let it arise, then maintain mindfulness at the breathing. not long, you will be able to develop this anapanasati. And when anapanasati starts to develop, you feel very good. You will experience a type of peace. They call it the spiritual calmness, or piti in Pali. Piti is a meditative calm, a meditative peacefulness of mind. When you experience piti, you will like to meditate because you feel very good, very calm, spiritually very peaceful. Then as you continue to develop the mindfulness of the in and out breath, whatever mind state that arise, you just relax into it, feel it soothingly relax and stabilize that piti, that mindfulness, until it becomes very quiet, very calm. And sometimes it will develop into long breathing, long breath. Like every in-breath is very long, and there's a lot of clarity within the breath. You will understand. Then every out-breath is the same. Then when you can develop this in and out-breath mindfulness training, you become very calm. Then you can go into a type of absorption if you continue to relax and silent. Then from piti, you will transform to become more refined, more peaceful, more calm, until you experience sukhang or sukha. Sukha is a blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes very blissful, very quiet. Then you continue to meditate, train, relax and silent. Then this anapanasati will start to slow down until it's very quiet, very still, like no more movement. Like the breathing is like no more stop or become very subtle, very shallow. Then sometimes it hardly breathe. Yeah. Then you will develop the internal breathing, internal movement. When that happens, means you have progress. Then you just silent everything, don't try to do anything, just maintain silent peacefulness and quietness. Just feel, continue to feel. Then if you are patient enough, not long, your mindfulness will become more refined until it is so stable, so refined, you become very sensitive, very mindful. Then you can detect all the subtle movement, the subtle breathing. Last time you cannot detect, now you can detect. It's like there is a lot of movement there. Then this is how you maintain the stability of mindfulness. You continue to be aware. Then finally one day, your mind enters sati, which means technically you don't need the breath to anchor your mind anymore. Your mind will be peaceful, quiet, and just aware, in the state of mindfulness or awareness all the time. Wherever you locate this mind will become very sensitive, very, very sensitive. So I will let you meditate and train your mind for the time being. Then I will ring the bell after the alarm for the half an hour rings. Okay. Okay. For those who still wants to meditate, you can continue. For those who have now slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to carry it over into your daily life so that you can remain mindful and aware in the midst of life. The Buddha said, if you can do that, your mind will be heedful. Heedful means it's no longer like last time, heedless. This mind now has the spiritual faculty of sati, mindfulness, awareness. Then it also have the calm state of composed mind. The calm state of composed mind is the mind that has faith, sadha. So this spiritual faculty can develop the ability for you to meditate in the midst of life, to understand the spiritual teaching while in the normal state of mind. Even as you live life, you are in the meditative state. That is the ultimate training. So the real meditation is after you have trained this mind, stabilize it to have the spiritual faculty, especially sati, leading to samadhi. Then you can have this type of mind which is very different from before. Before, this mind with the hindrance, think a lot, wanders off, become very heedless, entangle itself with a lot of wrong view, delusion. So everything that arises, your mind that is deluded, heedless, latches on to it, give meaning. That's how you develop all your suffering, your problem. So the Buddha said the attachment to all your mind state, to everything that you come to perceive, the external form, mental form, is the cause of suffering. And all this you will understand when you meditate, where you can see your mind. There are two aspects of mind. One is the thinking mind, mundane mind, conditionalizing mind. You will see how this mind still reacts through your wrong view, born of your self-delusion or ignorance. And when it do that, your mind becomes emotional. It creates suffering for yourself. It stress yourself out. Or sometimes it projects and develops the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, leading to all the mental hindrances. And this one has a lot of evil roots. Without evil roots, the mental hindrance will not be there. Without self-delusion, it will not be there. So this is the understanding. That's why meditation is not about training here. This is formal meditation. Help you. If you can't even be peaceful and aware while you are in the formal meditation, when you come out of it and go back to life, you don't stand a chance. Because when you are involved in life, your senses, they are all actively engaged. Engaged with society, with the things that you are doing. You have to pay attention to many things. You have to interact with the world, with society, with the people, with the media and all those things. So all this is not easy if you don't have a stable mind that is trained with mindfulness and awareness. But at the moment of sense experience, the thought arises very fast. And because of the self-delusion, it stirs and reacts and creates the mental hindrance. And because of that, you end up living life in a very heedless manner. That's why the Buddha said, normal living beings, they are very heedless because they never train their mind. So this heedlessness will lead to suffering. And the Buddha, under his teaching, we have Dhammapada verse 21, expressed it very clearly. He said, if you are heedless, you don't train your mind, you are as if dead. Spiritually, you are as if dead. That's why he said, heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Whereas if you train your mind, you are heedful. And when you are heedful, the heedfulness is the path to the deathless. You won't die. And the heedful never die. That's the reason why heedfulness is very important. To be heedful is to be ever mindful, with clarity, with calmness, with peacefulness, with inner awareness, very stable. Not only mindful, ever mindful. Then you combine it, use that mind state to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, namely Noble Eightfold Path, with particular attention on the four foundations of mindfulness. Then you have heedfulness, or in Pali he called Appamana. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas or deity come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sage, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. We will now chant the Pali. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamok kadang dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta dhamma savanan kalo ayang padanta namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatam Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukkani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati sa sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripaja. Bedang pujami. Damang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Just relax body and mind. Then maintain some form of attentiveness. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you have. If you have any question regarding the meditation or understanding the teaching, you can ask. You can also ask whatever question related to life. If you cannot understand any aspect of life and how to use what you have developed through all this training and understanding to help you live life, develop the clear understanding of life, you can also ask. Means how to use this teaching to help you overcome whatever problems or suffering that you are facing in life. To do that, you have to understand life. Otherwise, you cannot overcome them. If you understand, then you know what to do. If you don't understand, you don't know how to do. So basically, it's something for you to reflect on, contemplate on, then find out for yourself. This is what inquiry is all about. And when you inquire deep, it will allow you to develop the faith. Then after that, your spiritual faculty of virya will arise, and you'll be very, very diligent and determined to strive on with faithfulness to learn this teaching, and then you will meditate. That's how you progress. Okay, now we open it up. Anybody want to report meditation, just raise your hand. Then we will pass you the mic, the portable wireless mic. Anybody? You just report exactly how you feel during the meditation. You don't have to go and like try to think how to explain what happened. You just exactly what happened. Even all the funny thing that arise when you are doing it, you just report them. And this is what you need to understand. Then I will explain. Okay? Anybody? Manjit, how do you feel? First time? Yeah. You try to just report exactly what happened that half an hour when you try to meditate. What happened to your mind state?
As I told you before, that whenever I close my eyes,
the thought will arise.
Mind just
goes somewhere. Goes everywhere. Goes somewhere. Become very wild.
The same thing happened when I closed my eyes. But I tried very hard to control it. I tried very hard, and at the same time, sometimes I was feeling pain here.
Then what do you do? What do you do?
I tried to relax that part. I tried my best. And at the same time, I achieved success. But that was just for a
short period.
Very tiny little second.
And
after that...
gone again. Yeah. Come back to you. So
but
this...
When I achieved this success, I was feeling good.
That
was very split
second. For that short moment. Good enough. Your first time you are doing it.
Because when you advise,
relax. Feel, don't think. Can you follow?
I try to.
That's why what went wrong was like what you reported just now. You said you try very hard. You know what is that? What does that mean?
Yes.
Try very hard means you use effort. You use your thought. You are not supposed to use your thought. You're supposed to relax, silent, and feel. Then I say, whatever thought arise, let it arise. Don't fight, don't suppress, don't control. You say you try very hard to control.
I fought.
Yes, you're right. So no need to control. That's where you fail to develop the understanding. Initially it's normal, because every new meditator, they don't understand. So they thought this mind you need to control. You need to focus. That's how a lot of people went and do that type of concentration or one-pointedness type of meditation. We call it energy field. Yeah. You will become very calm and very peaceful if you do that. But that is not a free mind. That is a conditioned mind, a concentrated mind. Initially, if you do that as an initial training, not much harm. But if you mistake that for the meditation and you go very deep into it, it can lead to problem, because energy field can get people into trouble. They call it the meditation problem, which is related to Mara. Mara, you know what is Mara, right? Mara are the, they call the evil beings that come and disturb meditator who do the wrong meditation. Yeah, you like to play with energy field. They also very good in that. So they come and challenge you and disturb you and do a lot of funny things to you. That's why in the Mahayana tradition, they have this saying, zou fo ru mo, means zou fo yap mo, means you do the concentration until you build out all the heat, the fall, the heat, all the energy. Then that heat suddenly lost. Then the Mara come in and tell you a lot of story. Okay, now coming back to your report. I already explained the first two things. You need to remember, relax, silence everything, and just let things be. Don't fight, don't suppress, don't control. That is the first rule. So the fourth support for meditation, just I forgot to brief you because you are new. First is to relax. Relax means relax into whatever mind state that arises. Understand? You feel the mind getting concentrated, or becoming stressed, unhappy. Then like you experience all the aching and all those things. Then the wandering thought. So what you should do is just relax into it. When you relax, you're not doing anything. You will feel peaceful. Then all these mind states that arise, they will slowly, slowly slow down and cease. Then you will return to awareness. The second part of meditation support is maintain the awareness mind. The mind that is just aware, don't do anything. Relax and just aware. Aware means silent, no thought. So this is the silent mind without thought. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. Always remember that. But for new people with the mental hindrance, they cannot be silent. Like you say, the mind lashes on to many things, just wander all, become very wild, go everywhere. Without you giving instruction, it just go. And you can't do anything to it. If you try to prevent it from running, it becomes worse. You use more energy and you create more mental energy for it to become more active, more violent, more strong. So because of that, these two support is very important. Relax, aware. Then the third support is maintain this awareness for as long as you can. Finally, it's like 24 hours throughout the day. You are with that nature, that awareness nature, your true mind. Then this mind is very different. It's just aware. It doesn't dwell anywhere. Then finally, the last one is trust. Trust means no thought involved. Just that nature do everything. So this one, the fourth one, you normally don't have to do. You do the first two. So relax and aware. And the other thing about what happened to you is you feel the ache, remember? Then you wanted to move, isn't it? But you see everybody sit still, didn't move. You also dare not move. So what you should understand is, like I always tell the new people, you come here to meditate. means to train your mind, okay, to be peaceful, to be aware, to be in a relaxed state. Means you are comfortable, you are peaceful, you have clarity, you are aware, you are relaxed. If you are not having all this, means you still don't understand what meditation is. It means you still don't know how to meditate. So what happens is, it's very normal for most people who are new to have all this pain, numbness, yeah, like ache and all those things. Then you want to move, you cannot move. Sometimes you want to fart, so you dare not fart because you think it's embarrassing and all those things. So this is not the way, yeah, to act out of it. Understand? No? That's why I always say, you come here to meditate, to feel good. You don't come here to torture yourself. You understand? You understand the word? Torture. You know what is to torture yourself? Yeah? When you torture somebody, you know this word, isn't it? Yeah? Yeah? When you torture somebody, it means you make the fellow miserable, isn't it? But you yourself making yourself miserable with all the ache, you dare not do anything. You understand? So the key thing is to relax into it. When you relax into it, the ache will go. Because when you know how to relax, it's not stressed out. You are not in a state of stress or tension. When you do the mind sweeping method, you will realize that you have a lot of tension in your facial muscle, in your physical body. Well, most people, after a tired day, they are very stressful. A lot of part within their physical body, they are not relaxed. The mind is the worst, completely not relaxed, because that mind, that think a lot and wonder of like what you experience, go everywhere, that mind is not relaxed, not peaceful. That mind is very restless. That's why you got this mental hindrance there. And that mind don't understand what is going on. That's why it has doubt. Then because every day you react to sense experience, you arise the mental hindrance of sensual desire, you will, until this one become habitual. Well, throughout the day, you arise it until it become habitual. Then every moment the mental hindrance are there. How can you be peaceful? You can never be peaceful. And because of that, that mind develops the habitual tendency of heedlessness, restlessness, doubt, sleepiness, and all those things. So a lot of people, they have to make themselves very tired, then only they can sleep. If you are a meditator, you are a cultivator, you want to rest, you just rest. And when you rest, you can sleep with mindfulness inside, awareness. Just now you all heard some snoring, isn't it? You don't think they sleep, they are meditating. They can hear their own snoring. So this type of meditation is very different. Your body rests. Then when it's in a state of perfect rest, this air passageway, there is a constriction, then it will create a snoring. But the moment it snores, it's fully aware. Then the dream, the movement inside, if it were to start to like create a dream, subconscious release, with the awareness, you can be fully aware of all these things. These are your trap, fear, phobia, your unhappy mind state. During your daily life, you have a lot of this accumulated into your brain. So your brain is an organism. Your brain also need to recover or recuperate from all this. So what it do is, it has to wait till you sleep. When you sleep, you are not actively interfering, then nature heals itself. You know what is nature heals itself or not? When you don't do anything, yeah, your life force will heal itself. Means it will bring about recovery, recuperation. It's like when you rest your body. This body will repair itself, understand not? It's like you recuperate from the tired day. Then you feel very good after you have a good sleep, especially a deep sleep. Then your life force, your nature, will heal you. Then it will cause this subconscious release to be released from your brain so that they are not creating problem for you. Otherwise, you become cuckoo, I tell you. With all this accumulated, then no way to release it. It's like you bottle up all your problem. You never allow it to come out. It's going to give you a lot of problem. And the worst is, people who have problem, they worry. Then they think. Until they are so stressful, so unhappy, so miserable with all the sorrow, and then they enter depression without knowing it. Then this cocoon of thought keep on coming back like a tape recorder to haunt you. Then you don't know what to do with it. That's why a lot of human beings, nowadays especially, a lot of young people have stress, have depression. Last time, olden days, is only the older people, when they got problem, financial problem, health problem, relationship problem, then they become miserable and enter depression with suicidal thought, all those things. But now there are young people having all this because society has become more sophisticated. And this second generation kid, they are not prepared for that type of tough life. Whereas we are first generation, everything we have to do ourselves. We cannot rely on our parents. Our parents are all illiterate. Then they are far away from you. And they got big family. Like my family, almost 9 to 10 of us. He never got time to look after us. We have to survive. That's why our survival skill is there. We are more resilient. But we are less fortunate than you all. You are born with everything. That's why second generation kid has its pro and con. If you don't know how to make use of what you are given, then you become pampered. Then you develop that inability to survive. You don't have survival skill. Everything is given to you. You got your mate. You don't even have to learn how to wash your clothes, your shoe, your whatever. Then you go to school also. Got transport already. Sometimes you got your own chauffeur. Then at home you got your maid. You don't even have to do anything. Everything is taken care. Otherwise the parent will do for you. We all our time. You come back late, no more food on the table. That's why you discipline yourself to come back early. You want to make sure you get the good food or enough food. You have to be early. Because there is only one plate. Fish are the same. A smaller one got 2. Bigger one, 1 only. So you come back late, 10 of us, with my parents, 12 or 13, you will be happy you can still have the bone left on the plate. Otherwise, it's all gone. All the good part. Then left with the head, nobody want to eat on. The tail, the wing. So I learned to eat all this. I like to eat the tail and all the wing. The fins, the head. So this is what society is all about as it progresses, it transforms itself, it evolves differently. So different generation of children, people, as they grow up, they become conditioned into a different way of life. If you don't have this teaching, if you don't have this understanding, you can get into trouble. That's the reason why a lot of young people have mental problems. Lack in self-confidence, survival skill. They don't have. And there is a lot of graduates who can't even survive. Then some, they don't even know where to buy the car insurance. Where the car was already there, everything paid for. Then when their parents not around, they don't know where to renew road tax too. Then sometimes, maybe nowadays, you are very good at online. If the government go online, then your friend tell you, it can pay online. Means you don't know what this thing is. We all go there and get the physical road tax. our whatever registration card, or we go through the full process. So we learn during our time, even though it's more difficult, we are not so progressive at that time, but we are the first generation that endure many things. That's why we are more resilient and we learn many things. We get to see both the 60s, the 70s, where science and technology are still quite backward. Civilization are still not so evolved. So these are the things that can make a difference to the living being. So that's why during our time, less people has problem. Why? Because their main concern is what? food and shelter. They got no time to get sick, do you know? Well, now are very pampered. A little bit of problem. Oh, better don't go to work, don't go to work. Stay at home. See doctor, I take you, see specialist and all those things. We all, you have to recover yourself. Unless it's very serious. So we got a lot of this, what they call Chinese medical medicine. Sometimes you don't even take anything. They just boil you some herbs. Put in the whatever herbs. Hot water after that. He said, drink, then go and sleep. Sweat it out. You will recover the next day. And sometimes the breadwinner, sick also, have to work. They got no time to get sick. So in my hometown, I saw all this. Then when I was young also, I didn't know I got some form of like asthmatic. I got this sinus problem giving me, and they call this asthma. When you sleep that time, your mucus all there, stuck. Actually, I lived through all this without knowing that I got a condition. But I recovered just naturally. Well, later on through the better food that I received when I came down to the university, my health improved by itself. And it recovered very fast. Then you learn through life. So for you or second-generation kid, you make use of your pro, then you develop your own understanding and you will excel. And this teaching is very important. It will let you understand many things. Let you understand who you are, what you are, how your mind can be trained to become beautiful, to make you beautiful, and to free your mind from all this entanglement problem. The mental hindrance, once they are no more there, you become very, very different. You become very beautiful. Your mind is no longer restless. Having all these usual problems, fear, worry, anxiety, all of the negative mind state, no more there. Like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, fear, worry, your thought that project, that create all the fear, worry, and anxiety, no more. You can confront everything with understanding. The fear just cannot arise because there is no reality. Everything is just understanding. When you understand, your mind is free. No more problem. When you don't understand, big problem. Okay? So basically, the first understanding is relax. Then silent, aware. That's what meditation is all about. Then if the egg comes, relax into it. Sometimes the leg, because you cross it, the chi cannot flow, it causes a constriction. That's why it will become numb. Sometimes pain develops. So if you know how to relax, like the yoga people, they can be so flexible. Why no pain? Because they learn, they train, they relax. Yoga is the art of relaxation. Then when you are relaxed, you got no thought. You are peaceful. That's why those who do yoga become very peaceful. But meditation, you don't have to do yoga to be peaceful. You just know how to relax and silent. And you are like the yoga in the meditative state. The yoga know how to relax, but they don't know how to meditate. Most of them, unless they learn the other type of yoga, where they combine with wisdom. So there are a lot of yoga. Atta yoga, Raja yoga, don't know, the various type of yoga. Then they also got Kriya Yoga, all those things. I think in India a lot. But what you must understand is, yoga is basically an exercise of relaxing body and mind so that you are peaceful, you are calm, so that you can use this mind state to prolong your life, to develop the clarity of mind, to understand things better. That you know how to use it to meditate, then you develop wisdom, enlightenment. All these are possible. But yoga is only for people who has interest and affinity, because it's not easy to do all the yoga stunts. My daughter like yoga a lot. He paid and he learned. She's quite good. But it depends. So finally, if you really want to have the good life, you have to learn how to meditate, to understand things, to develop the wisdom, to liberate your mind. Otherwise, you do yoga, you are very calm, very peaceful. Once you are out of yoga, you go back to life. You entangle yourself with all the problems again. Then you have to go back and do yoga again. But as you get old, there is a limit to what your physical body can allow you to do. But you know how to meditate, then no need all the stunt, you just know how to relax, then you got no problem. Even you live until very old, no problem. Just relax, silent, and be with the moment to experience the wonder, the beauty and the wonder of life. So everything in life is so meaningful, so pristine, so beautiful. Why can't you just silence your mind to experience them? Why must you go and think and worry about things? Fear, worry, anxiety is your own creation, anasana. When you perceive things with negativity, you have fear. Then when you react and stir your mind through wrong view, you get anger, envy, jealousy, hatred, unhappiness. No point. Then when you project your thought, you develop unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety. Your thought will ask, what happened if? It's not a reality, but you project. What happened if my boss come to know? What happened if my boss is not happy with my performance? This is all your thought creating fear, because you project. It's not a reality yet. Why can't you develop the faith, the confidence, and work towards your success? So that as long as you try your best, nobody can blame you. You will do well if you understand. Without fear, worry, anxiety, you are more calm. You have clarity of mind. You are more efficient. You make better decisions. That's why you will do well in life. But when you have all these hindrances and mental negativity, you cannot. Especially your fear, your phobia, and all this, it will actually weaken you and make you less efficient. And you cannot really study. You cannot really work because of all these weaknesses. Okay. Any other question? You got any other question?
No, normally you're talking about like worry, anxiety, and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times that you can do everything like nicely. You can make good decisions.
Yes.
But at the same time,
When things don't go your way.
That's it.
When things don't go your way.
Yeah. But you are doing everything right, and it's taking a long time. And then, I won't say worry or whatever, but you definitely think about it.
Yeah.
That thinking could be worry or could be tension. Or
Because you project your thought. What happens if I fail? What happens if I'm not successful?
That's true, yes.
Yeah. So that's how fear comes in. Why do you want to ask that question?
But you want it to be done like within a certain period of time.
Correct. So what you want is, now I explain this. Very good. Thank you. Because this one I haven't explained before. What you want is this word. You heard of this word, security. True or not? You want to be sure. Understand? In this world, if you don't understand this teaching, nothing can be sure. Most of the time, it goes the other way. You won't get what you want. Because the world, the conditioned world, has its own laws. We call it the nature's law that governs life and existence. So like the scientists, they understand the first two scientific laws. They call it the Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama. These are the physical law of nature and biological law of nature. That's why science, the physical law is physics, chemistry, and even mathematics. Then you have the biology, genetic theory and all those things, organic thing. They call it the biological order. So all of nature, the scientists came to understand that they are governed by these two laws, the physical law of nature and the biological order of nature. Means all organic things that have life form, they follow the biological order. Even human beings, animals, the fishes, the reptiles, the birds, everything. Then physical law is like all this physical thing, they exhibit that law. That's why under physics, chemistry, you know they got this atomic weight and all those things. Then all the various type of elements, they got their properties. Yeah. Then even the compound, like water, yeah, you heat it up, it will boil at certain temperature, 100 degrees Celsius, when you are in this atmospheric pressure. Then when you cool it down, it becomes ice. Then it can become snow too. Yeah. Then you have to heat it up, put in a lot of heat to melt it down to become water again. Then you boil it out again, you put in heat. So the interchangeability, or they call the law of conservation of mass and energy, which is a physical law, scientific. So they know the law of conservation of mass and energy. That's why the scientists came to know nothing is created nor destroyed. There is no creation. It's just the intermovement of energy, yeah, transformation. Yeah, the state changes. So all these solid things, they are trapped energy. So Einstein's equation got defined. E equals mc squared. Yeah? E equals mc squared. Means energy equals the mass times the square of the speed of light. That's why it can release a lot of energy. This is how neutron bomb, atomic bomb, all this, what they call very destructive nuclear energy can be released. Because mass is trapped energy. And you multiply by such a big value, you know, and the square of it, the speed of light is very high. Yeah. So they know how to create nuclear reaction through those isotopes, especially uranium isotopes. They are not stable. Then it creates their multiplication effect and it releases a lot of energy. So security is something that your mind seek. And this mind that seek is your mundane mind. Always remember. This is the one that gives you problem. Mundane mind. This one seeks security. So what happened when you don't have that security? Because your thought went thinking, especially nowadays with the WhatsApp, you read a lot of this story, how people get robbed. How the robber nowadays are very, very daring. They don't care. Got people, no people, they just go in. They want to snatch your thing, they want to rob you, they just come. And now, not like last time, wait till at night you sleep on, you're not in the house, only they come in. Now they openly come in. They are very aggressive. So when you read about this, or sometimes you become a victim or snatch thief, what happened? That memory, that fear, that phobia, make you the opposite, insecure. Understand? Insecure. When you feel insecure, what happened? There is fear, worry, and anxiety. This is how the mundane mind get into trouble. Do you understand? Because it projects. Like your case, you work very hard, you see. You try your very best. You work hard. According to who? According to you. But it may not be according to the nature's law that governs life and existence. So good according to you, right according to you, may not be the nature's law's version. So that's why things can still go wrong. I already explained. If you don't understand this teaching, security is never there. If you understand this teaching, the Buddha said the most powerful law is the spiritual law of karma. Spiritual law of karma. He said this one decides everything. All of human beings, our form and mind is subject to this law. This is the first spiritual law, very powerful. And there are three spiritual laws. Is it law of karma is the first one. Then law of mind, the second one. Spiritual law of mind. How your mind functions. Yeah? Then the spiritual law of truth, which is the teaching of the Buddha. So these three laws, they are the spiritual law that governs all of life and existence. So the Buddha said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. You reap what you sow. Do good, we get good. Do evil, we get evil. And because he said we are born of our karma, we inherit all our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. And karma is the one that condition and support us every moment, every instant. So whatever happened to you, you cannot blame any other thing except for this thing. So a lot of human beings don't understand this law. You know what they do? They go and try all sorts of things that people tell them. They go and see Feng Shui Master. They go and see Bobo. They go and see the medium. Then they consult fortune teller and all those things. You can go and try all those things. I tell you, it's not going to help you. Because the bulk of it is this one. If you don't take care of karma, your life will have all this. So last time, let's say, in past life, you cheat people, you rape people, you extort from people, you rob people, you do all these funny things. So the law of karma is you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So when the time comes, you become the victim. People will rob you, cheat you, kill you, do all this back to you. So if you want to avoid having problem, all this insecurity is not going to help you. Because this one is not a reality. This is something created by thought. Why should you feel this way? The Buddha said. If you have taken care of karma, your faith is very strong. Your this faith is very strong. You don't have to worry about anything because you don't have that type of condition to be subject to all those things. So you will know how to act. That's why you will never act wrongly because you know the consequence of acting wrongly is very severe. It's a high price to pay. Not worth it. Never, never worth it. When you meditate, when you go through life, you can put to test all this. You will stand up to investigation. Then when you understand, if you don't have insecurity, your mind is peaceful. All this fear, worry, anxiety will not arise. All this will cease. Yeah. So, you will have peace. You will have confidence. Then you will have the spiritual faculty, the mindfulness and all those things. And this is how you act. You act with confidence. You act with peacefulness of mind, calmness of mind, awareness, understanding, wisdom. You don't project your thought anymore because this is not a reality. This is your thought projection. What if? Then you read too much. You project your thought and trigger off your fear because you become insecure. Hey, cannot. I must grill my house. You see all the grills everywhere. Huh? Oh. Then I must join security firm. Understand not? So that I can notify them if anything happens. That is where you, out of fear, spend all this money. But I'm not asking you not to take care of any of this. It's like there was one case, my physics teacher. He saw me bought a new car, I think many years back. Then he saw me, sometimes I took him around. He saw me lock my car. He said, why you still got this insecurity, you still lock your car? Then I looked at him. You know what I told him? This is not insecurity, this is not fear. This is out of love and compassion to prevent people doing it and having the very, very severe negative karma, understand? If they steal from a cultivator or a virtuous being, you know what is the severity of that coming or not? So, out of love and compassion to avoid this thing from happening, that's why I try to take precaution. But this precaution is not insecurity, because it's just to make life more difficult for that person to decide which one to steal. Understand? I say you might as well leave the car key inside the car, understand? Thinking that you very good karmic nature, nobody will steal. You create condition, the car will be gone, I tell you. It's so easy to steal. But if they see two cars, One with the lock and the other one without the lock. Which were they steal? They were steal the one without the lock. So it is an understanding. Understanding means you must try to avoid the condition. You cannot be a hero. Because all the aeons and aeons and aeons of birth and death, you can never know that you have never done anything wrong in the past. Most of people, most cultivators too, unless they reach already very, very high level cultivation of understanding and they have perfected themselves, they will still have this karmic tendency from the past. So if you allow condition to arise, it will happen. That's why in statistics we study probability, isn't it? You must avoid the condition so that the probability of it arising is less. Yeah. You want to get yourself into trouble very easy. You walk into a what they call notorious area, where there is a lot of gangster there, then a lot of what they call extortion people and all those things. You try to be a hero, you go in. I tell you, you will definitely get into trouble. Because the chances is so much higher. Even how good you are, you can conduct yourself very well. You happen to go to that area, you are inviting for trouble. So certain of this area, police also then are going in. Unless they got one big group of very, very efficient police manpower and all those things. So life is to understand that you avoid the condition, chances are it will not happen. So with all this understanding, you don't have to allow the mind to become insecure. You don't have to make sure everything is properly planned with all the security in place. Means you are living in fear. You have insecurity. That's why you want security. Understand? Do you understand this part? Because you have insecurity, that's why you want security. And what is security? Yeah? Craving. Craving. Craving is wanting to be safe. Understand? Wanting to be safe. So this craving is the cause of suffering. When you cannot get what you want, like just now I mentioned, means if you don't have security all over your house, with all the grill, everything, you don't feel safe, you don't have enough lock to padlock, then you have this problem, insecurity. But when you spend all the money on all this, you think you are safe. Understand now? Yeah. But nowadays, the burglar, if you come to understand the technology they have, not very sophisticated. No. To open any lock you buy, how expensive also no use, I tell you. They can just open it. If they want to come into your house, anytime they can come in. So when you understand all this, you will tell yourself, I just make sure I don't have anything expensive in the house. Understand? No? Then if you are a lady, don't carry expensive handbag. Don't even carry imitation one. We are more dangerous. If they found out it's imitation, they come back and I don't know what they do to you. They say, you cannot afford, don't carry. So a lot of these things, even in the movie, you see them before. So security against insecurity is very important. And this topic, Jay Krishnamurti spoke on it a lot. A lot. He said, it is man's fear that caused them so much suffering and misery. And the fear arises from insecurity. You don't feel secure. And insecurity doesn't mean people rob you alone, no. When you are not confident of yourself, there is insecurity. Where you don't have self-confidence. You feel very insecure. Even when you go out to meet your peers, to meet your colleague or attend meeting, you feel so insecure, understand? Well, you don't have self-confidence. You are not prepared. And you got this, what they call conditioning behind, the phobia behind that you accumulated. Ayo, I am not good enough. What happened if I go to the meeting and they ask certain questions that I cannot answer, that I can't even understand? So this fear, this insecurity will make you miserable. And when you go in there without self-confidence, without faith, I tell you, you will be miserable. Yeah, because that fear will drive you crazy. It will release a type of negative energy. Fear energy is very negative, and you will lower your immune system, and it makes you very inefficient. Out of fear, you cannot do anything. But when you have self-confidence, it becomes reversed. You become very positive, very confident, and you will be more successful. So all this is to understand that feeling insecure is an illusion. This is not a reality. This is thought projection. That's how it triggers off fear, worry, anxiety. And all this mind state will not help you. It will make you worse. That's how people enter depression, sadness, suicidal thought, and other things. So security can only come about when you understand. Means if I take care of karma, I do what I have to do, I train myself, I have to be good at it. It's just like anything you do in life. Study, academic, or even sports, or play chess. If you don't develop your skill and understanding, all the games you play, you will lose, I tell you. You have to be very good to really stand above. Do you understand? That's why you must have passion, love, self-confidence. Then work towards it. Why do you fear? Tell yourself, if people can do, I can do. If there is a will, there is a way. I must work towards it. I must have self-confidence. I must be willing to work hard. I must be willing to train my mind, to develop the understanding, the wisdom, so that I can make a difference to my life. No point going about creating all your fear, worry, anxiety, self-remorse, and condemn yourself. Then sometimes you get so angry, you blame your parents for not giving you the right thing in life, for your mother marrying the wrong guy. There was a very interesting story. It's in Bill Gates last time, before he was very wealthy, the richest man. He was a dropout. There was one lady, very pretty. Bill Gates was interested in her. But she got no time for Bill Gates. Because Bill Gates very square, up here. Then later on, the son came to know the mother. Actually he liked me, in the vast day. So what happened? The son says, my mother, stupid. If he had allowed Bill Gates to court her and marry her, I would have become Bill Gates' son. I would not be suffering now. You understand? But there is no more reality, you understand? That word if is always a thought projection. So all this, you have to develop understanding. Insecurity is the worst. If you feel insecure, means you lack self-confidence. A lot of things will not go your way. All this fear, worry, anxiety will set in. So like you say, you try your best, which is very good. But you try your best according to your own views and opinion. You don't know this law. This law decides. If you take care of karma, you work yourself along this way, means you don't cheat. You don't deceive, you don't kill and harm and do all those funny things to get what you want, then law of karma will not hit back. Understand that? Then you will gain all this righteously. Then because you allow the condition to arise, it's like when you live your life, you help people. Understand that? Maybe people need financial money to go to university. Then people who suffer, they need help, you help. Then you have kindness, you have goodness, you have generosity. And throughout your life, you have been doing all this wholesome thing, good thing. And you know what will happen. Everything you do to people will come back to you. Yeah, you reap what you sow. So you are cultivating, planting all the good karma that will reap the good effect of that good karma. So you reap what you sow. The fruition of it is People will be kind to you. People will support you in time of trouble. That because you give a lot of charity, the more you give, the more you receive. That's why you look at Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, they all. This life they become so wealthy, they donate so much of their wealth. That's how they become wealthy. And that's why in future they come back, that part of me will bring about the wealth and the understanding. They are not foolish people. They are very wise people because they know this law. And they know you have to do your part to give back to society. At the same time, have this understanding to take care of karma, to do all the wholesome things. Then if you have all this, you got no negativity, means probability of having problem is less. So you have that faith. You don't have to do up the whole house and all things. Basic thing enough. And like I buy a simple lock, I just lock that one. It just make it more difficult for them to come in. The other thing about house security, the most important one is, even if you read up the internet, it will tell you, you know what must you do? You must on the front light, your porch light. If you don't on your porch light, you try to save money, I tell you, higher probability of the robber or thief or whatever to come into your house. You have to light it up. Because compared to two houses, let's say one very bright lit, the other one very dark. Easy to go into your house and nobody will know. So these are the things that they get gather from all these robbers or whoever who steal and rob people, the feedback from them. Then they also say if they find that your this what they call metal grill, that hook that you use, no matter what type of expensive lock you buy, no use. They will cut off the ear. And they got this very sharp thing, gone already. So what type of lock also no use? The hook, the ear part just drop off. They just come in. Especially you on holiday. That's why to deter them is don't keep expensive things at home. Why must you keep them at home? That's why those who got jewelry, expensive, antique, those things, they worry a lot. They keep Rolex watches, all those expensive watches. So when they travel, they feel insecure, lack of peace of mind. So what you can do is buy insurance, house container. So don't worry. Anything happen, claim insurance. So there are many ways to mitigate things, but you don't have to worry. If you understand karma, meant to be will be. Maybe last time you robbed people before, so now people rob you back. Fair, isn't it? So understand it. Ask for forgiveness and move on. Then don't let this thing haunt you, understand? And make you miserable. Already happened, gone already. Miss, the reality is happened already, finished. Like car accident. After that, blame your wife. This new car, no, why are you so careless? I tell you, your wife will become miserable. But if you tell your wife, don't worry. Do what we have to do. If we need to claim insurance, we just claim insurance. So avoid all the hassle. If we need to compensate, if we can afford, just compensate. Then resolve it amicably. No more problem. Otherwise, you carry that thing back. Every day you nag your wife. I tell you, your life is not worth living if you do that. Because resolve it and move on. Don't carry it in your brain. Don't allow all this to accumulate. Then when your wife become unhappy, you know what she will do? Okay? This time you try to be fine. Next time your turn, then you see. Then she will recall to me. You very good. You tell me all these things. So you also same. You think you different. So end up arguing, not supporting each other. You don't know how to resolve issue and problem. You don't know what law of karma is. That's why you cannot come to terms with the reality and be at peace with life. Okay? So this part, I hope it will help you in security. So we still got 20 minutes. Turn to your notes. This one is a short note for last Thursday. It's very useful. I have to go through this. You can take it back after that. Short notes for our 1st of February 2018 Thursday class. Brother Teo welcome three newcomers to the session. There's a brother call. Mentioned that he had attended SN Goenka's meditation in the past. Then Brother Teo also mentioned about Brother Chia from Singapore, who had also attended Goenka's meditation session before attending Brother Teo's class and retreats. Brother Chia is now very different because of his new understanding of what meditation is all about. Then the second point is, if we can develop the understanding of the Buddha's teaching further, we can share with more people. Brother Teo's sessions are informal, so anybody is free to come and leave any time and ask or share whatever Dhamma understanding they have. When we understand how unique the Buddha is, besides being the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born, we will have deep respect and gratitude towards the Buddha. His teaching, when put to practice, can bring about great transformation leading to liberation of mind. The purpose of this meditative training or vipassana training is to insight into. That's the meaning of the word pasana. Pasana is to insight into. Then we stand for the three universal characteristics of nature. That is impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature of existence, which is V. All physical, mental, and nature's phenomena, they exhibit these universal characteristics. Once we can insight into them, our understanding of life become very different. Our views and self-delusion will be rooted out, and enlightenment in the here and the now will become possible. Then, point number three. Brother Teo continued to explain to the newcomer that the class normally starts at 8:10. The first session starts with offerings from Kayanimitta, who brings offering through their generosity, wholesomeness, and understanding. The offering is done mindfully to develop the spiritual faculties of faith or sadha and sati or mindfulness. So everything is done with understanding and mindfulness. This is followed by puja chanting, which helps to develop further understanding via allowing Kayanimitta to recall to mind the nine great virtues of the Buddha. Taking refuge in the Triple Gem also help Kayanimitta cultivate affinity with the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. By renewing the five precepts, Kayanimitta are reminded of the danger of violating this precept, which can cause karmic downfall or karmic negativity. The reciting of puja offering also reinforces understanding of all the significance of all this offering, like what we have done just now, is all in the chanting book. In short, the puja chanting helps Kayanimitta in their cultivation. Then point number four, it's important to use the trained mind state to live the daily life, to cultivate sati sampajana or mindfulness with clear comprehension of every action and every movement in the present moment will bring about heedfulness. This is meditation. Brother Teo quoted Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, and the heedless are as if dead. So this Dhammapada verse 21 is very important. Then verse 21 complement verse 22 complement verse 21. The wise one distinctly understanding the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness will intend on heedfulness. Oh, the word should be heedfulness. Intend on heedfulness. When they are intent on heedfulness, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas, which are the enlightened ones. Then verse 23 is, the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme, born-free enlightenment, which is Nibbana. So, you only need to have these two quality of mind, constantly meditative and ever mindful. You add these two up, that is heedfulness. Then number five. Hence, we should hold on to the cultivation steadfastly. We only need two things. First, stabilize the mind to be mindful. And second, use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is Noble Eightfold Path. Especially so to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness, which is also part of the Noble Eightfold Path. Then the fourth foundation of mindfulness, which is Dhammanupassana, fifth category of practice, also is about mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. So the first category of practice is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. Then mindfulness of the five aggregate of form and mind, followed by mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external sense bases. Then number four is mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. And lastly is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. That's like the Four Noble Truths is also within the four foundations of mindfulness. As we develop this cultivation or meditation, wisdom will arise. If we are on the right path, the seven factors of enlightenment will keep on arising. Finally, if we cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So the real meditation is Noble Eightfold Path. So with this understanding, you must always check. Whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, to develop the Noble Eightfold Path factors, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then number six is reporting of meditation. Brother Kok Loon reported that he felt anger when he first started to meditate, his meditation. Then later, when he started to follow Brother Teo's meditative instruction or meditation instruction or guideline, he managed to bring his drifting mind back again. Finally, he experienced silence, as if he was the only one in the meditation hall. According to Brother Teo, most human beings are heedless most of the time throughout the day, so the mind are not silent within. One needs to be patient during meditation. When we allow things to be, eventually, not long after, the mind will stabilize. Anger arises because of accumulated memories stored in the brain. Human beings accumulate their life experiences, good and bad, as memory. As thoughts are response to memory, hence this conditioned mind state can arise. But when we understand them to be conditioned arising, not us, and allowing them to be without suppressing or controlling them, they cease to be after some time. Then the mind returns to its original state of inner peace and calmness before the stirring. So meditation is very easy if we understand this. Brother Teo explained the five aggregates of form and mind. At every moment of consciousness, it is just the pure awareness. But the brain, with its views and opinion and conditioning, means part of your memory, will input the content of consciousness, hence forming the thought. This means the content of consciousness had gone into that space and manifests as a thought. Hence, thought is consciousness plus its content. The consciousness is like a receptacle that receives the content of consciousness. Then it becomes a thought and is activated. Initially, our true mind is just spacious awareness. Then suddenly the mind focuses on something because of our sense perception. Then it shrinks that consciousness into this small space where we input our content through memory, views and opinion. The external form enters the mind via perception. So the four aggregate of mind, which is feeling, perception, sankhara and consciousness, together with the external mental form, perceive, develop the five aggregates within. This is how your thought arises. We are conditioned through our knowledge, our views, our opinion and belief system, obtained via our media, our education, and our interaction with society. If we cling on to our phobia, scars of memory, conditioning, etc., we will trigger off the corresponding thought when we meditate. The mental hindrance will take over. To be free from this, we should develop the meditation via understanding. Relax, be silent within, and allow the mental hindrance to cease by itself. Besides, in the midst of our daily life, we should not pay attention to thoughts that are unfit for attention. If we pay attention to them, the unarisen mental hindrance will arise, and the arisen mental hindrance will intensify. Understand that it's just a thought. It arises and passes away moment to moment. So why give meaning to such thought? Until we are overwhelmed by suffering. To develop wisdom and to be free from this, we should understand that since thought is respond to memory, it will become weaker if we do not feed it with more mental and emotional thought energy. We should understand that people are just the way they are. Tell ourselves that since it is due to my karmic past, if I need to ask for forgiveness and take care of my karma, I will just do them. That is right view. This is how you develop the understanding to live life. Then you no need to have insecurity in yourself. The moment you take care of life, karma take care of your life, finish. You no need to worry about things. Then if you have goodness, kindness, people will be good to you. Your vibration is different. Your karmic nature is different. Everything is different. You are like very blessed, very lucky. When the mind is trained, it will listen to you. This one you will listen. Just like playing badminton, if we train until we have the skill, we will know how to play well. As for swimming, if we understand that our body is lighter than water, then we do not need to struggle to keep afloat. Because the body via its natural buoyancy will float on its own. So meditation is the same. Our true mind before the stirring is already the pure awareness, the silent mind or meditative mind. If the mundane mind is heedless with a lot of thinking, do not fight or suppress the hindrance, but allow them to be. It will return to its natural state before the stirring on its own. One need to train the mind until it listens to you. The trained mind will know how to act. We should use the trained mind to arise the right thought following Noble Eightfold Path. Trained mind means like a dog. You say sit, the dog will sit. You throw the bone or something, say go catch, the dog will run after and bring it back to you. So your mind is the same. When you train means what? You tell the mind to be silent. You will be silent. That is what the trained mind is all about. That's why meditation becomes very easy. Because you have trained the mind. I just want to relax and develop the awareness to be in a meditative state. Then even in your sleeping posture, you can meditate. Because that mind listens to you. You want to rest, it will just rest. You want it to be aware, it will be aware. You want it to arise a thought, to perceive something, to understand something, to contemplate and reflect, it will just do that. It will not run all over. It's just like when you study. You lack the ability to concentrate on your study. You cannot study. You feel sleepy. Then your mind like want to doze off. Then you force yourself to be awake. No use. That's why you need to rest. Go and rest. Or sometimes the teacher may tell you, go and wash your face. Then come back. But it's a temporary solution. You come back maybe not so sleepy, but after that the old habit will come back. So if you need to rest, you rest. Then if you understand the importance of that subject, you will have the passion, the self-confidence, and the virya to study hard. Because you know this is important for your life. It is going to help you in many ways. That's why you give importance to it, because you understand. Then you will work towards it. Then the self-confidence, the virya, all will come. Number 13. I haven't finished. It is important. Before that. I read number 13 again. The moment you are silent without thought. Number 10 only. No wonder it goes so fast. There are two ways to meditate. First, we can use the mind sweeping method to decondition the habitual thinking, which I have taught you all most days. Another way is to cultivate the spiritual faculty, so either or. Do not fight the mental hindrance, but overcome them by cultivating the opposite five spiritual faculty. Develop the spiritual faculty until they become powers. so that our faith, etc., become unshakable. To stabilize the meditative mind, we can use anapanasati. Eventually, the silent mind enters sati. Then throughout the day, the mind will then be so aware that there is no need to train anymore. But initially, we need to train it. Once there is sati, wisdom will arise, where we can see truth everywhere. We can see the characteristics of nature every very moment, every instant. At every moment, every instant. So this is what meditation is all about. A trained mind with samadhi is incapable of reacting because the awareness is so stable and sharp. The transformed mind will understand life and change over to a new way of heedful living. Life becomes beautiful when there is heedfulness. However, the untrained mind is heedless and it thinks a lot. And mental hindrance will be there at every moment of perception. This hinders the mind from entering the meditative state if it becomes habitual in the midst of life. We don't stand a chance to liberate ourselves from suffering. So if you don't train your mind, that is your consequence. Yeah? Because the untrained mind is heedless, eh? And it thinks a lot, and mental hindrance will be there at every moment of sense experience. Then the Buddha said, the heedless are as it did. That's why you don't stand a chance. Then number 12. The moment we are silent without thought, we are already awake. So always remember this. Eh? Don't think, just relax, silent. We will experience the silent mind in stillness, having calmness, joy. No more fear, no more anxiety. This type of mind is much more superior to the agitated, heedless thinking mind that has a lot of fear and worry. The teaching is indeed so beautiful. It is important to write down or write out all the pointers after listening to each talk to reinforce your understanding. Science and technology has advanced so fast because we understand the scientific law that governs life and existence. Similarly, if we understand the spiritual law, we will come to the understanding of who we are and what we are. Then we will not be deceived by the five aggregates of form and mind and the phenomenal world anymore. For most human beings, the minute we perceive something, we start to think. The thought process moves so fast and billions of consciousness can arise within a second. Since man can only do one thing at a time, so we are either mindful or aware within, or we are lost in thought. It is best to stay aware at the heart or mind base area so that we do not dwell on what we hear or see, etc. Enlightened beings don't dwell but are always aware because they have developed the ability to have the spacious awareness without a center and specific phenomenal awareness at all times, especially so for those whose mundane mind have collapsed and their nature had shined forth. Then the last one is, during meditation, we do not necessarily have to stick to the sitting posture, though it is more stable and more recommended. We can sit on a couch or lie down to develop the training of the mind. What is more important is to have mindfulness and clear comprehension of all things that arise within the present moment, and be aware of all the connecting movements. There is no need to torture oneself. I remind you all. Bear in mind that the key support for awareness-based meditation is to be relaxed, silent, and just aware within. So when you understand all this, meditation becomes very easy. Not so esoteric or sophisticated. Right timing, so exactly 10:30, so we end. You got any question, you can write it down, so that we break for 2 weeks. After Chinese New Year only we continue. You can WhatsApp your question to Brother Suyan, then he will let me know. So you don't have to be like shy to us. Prepare before you come, easier. Okay? So we will do the sharing of marriage, transfer of marriage, then you make your aspiration. For those who wants to follow the chanting book, you can turn to page 15, I think. Yeah, page 15. We will chant the first paragraph, then we skip and go to the fourth paragraph. Then after that, we will go to the last paragraph. Let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness and meritorious action that we have done over the last 2 hour plus. Then let us share these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu loka sasana itta vata cha mehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontunya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, please pay respect to Lord Buddha, then we can end. Thank you.